אתמול ראינו שיש גמרא בבבא בתרא דף ג' ל' ב', ושם הגמרא מעלה כל מיני טענות פרקטיות, practical concerns, טענות פרקטיות, למה אין לסתור, למה אין לפרק, to break down, פרש קוף, למה אין לפרק בית הכנסת? אם זה משום פשיעותה, שיפשעו ולא יבנו מחדש את הבית כנסת, אם זה לטווח הארוך, long term, אם זה לטווח, תת, וו, וו, חת, לטווח המיידי, immediate, שגם אם יבנו לעתיד, בכל זאת לא יהיה מקום בבית הכנסת להתבלל בינתיים. עולמן דיאמר השני, לא כל כך מעניין אותי בית הכנסת, מספיק שיש מקום להתפלל. I'm not so concerned with the בית הכנסת, as long as they have a place to daven. And then we saw there's actually a shita in Rabbeinu Yonah, Beis Yosef actually feels it's the Rambam, that changes the whole dimensions. That everyone needs a Beis HaKnesses. The Man Diyamar says, Sliye, you have another Beis HaKnesses. The Man Diyamar Pshiusa, we don't go about dismantling Bate Knesses, even if there are hundreds of Bate Knesses in town. We don't dismantle Bate Knesses, but Beis HaKnesses has a life of its own. Beis HaKnesses is iconic, not just functional, not just logistical. So we don't break down Bate Knesses until we build the next one that replaces the previous Beis HaKnesses, if not numerically, at the very least it's identified as the replacement of that now departed Beis HaKnesses. Okay? And then we said, wait a second, is this the only issue we have to concern ourselves with the Beis HaKnesses? Maybe a Beis HaKnesses has Kiddusha. So we saw two sources. Let's review. Who remembers the two sources we saw that suggest that a Beis HaKnesses has Mikdash-like status? Which two sources did we see in the Tanaim? We always like to start with the Tanaim. We saw a Sifra, and we saw a Gemara. I'll give you a little hint. What's a Sifra? Okay, let's start with the Sifra. V'hishmadati et mikdashechem. Sifra darshan's mikdashechem means I'm including batei knesset. First batei knesset. Okay, v'hishmadati is mikdashechem. What did the Gemara say? Well, it's a pasuk not in Bechukosai, but in Daniel. In Yechezkel, I'm sorry. Vo'ehi lahem mikdash me'at. That's why you'll hear that phrase, mikdash me'at. A miniature base on Mikdash. Again, the simple shot of the pasuk is, I'll be for you. I'll be there. Hashem says. But the Gemara interprets, Elu batei knesios shebebatha. Now, these two mikaros can just be metaphoric. They play functionally the same role as the base on Mikdash. Okay? But we saw that many Rishonim take it literally. And to take it literally means you apply it in a halachic application. You don't just talk about it theoretically. You apply real halachos to it. So which real halachos did we see could stem from it being a Beis HaMikdash Me'at? What's the first halacha we saw? Yaakov? Kalis Rosh. What's the makor of the halacha of Kalis Rosh? You shouldn't have Kalis Rosh. Where did we see the makor of the halacha? In the Tosefta. Did the Tosefta associate the halacha with its status as a Beis HaMikdash Me'at? Yes or no? Trick question. The Tosefta stated the halacha, but it didn't base it on it being a Mikdash Me'at. Who are the Rishonim that based the halacha of Kalis Rosh on it being a Mikdash Me'at? The Ireim and the Smak. Sefer Mitzvos Katan and the Ireim. Okay, so I'm teaching you how to see sources, but to be very, very precise in your analysis. The Tosefta talks about the Isser Kalis Rosh. Doesn't say, why is there an Isser Kalis Rosh, Ari? There are a lot of reasons. It's a Beis HaKnesses. You're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even if it weren't a Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't have Kalis Rosh in a Beis HaKnesses. If you think about the thing about Kalis Rosh, when's the last time, when's the last time you had Kalis Rosh in a Beis HaKnesses? What? Okay, so here's a little bit different, because here you're living there the whole day, and it's a Beis HaMedrash also. It's not a place that you walk in to be Omer Lefnei Hashem. And it's an interesting question. I remember about 20 years ago, I was asked by the yeshiva to write a guidebook of like what behavior is or is not appropriate in the Beis HaMedrash. We're just trying to give a basic set of guidelines and norms, and it was very hard. Should you walk around without your shoes on? Let's say you're wearing socks. Let's put it that way. On the one hand, you can say it's disrespectful. On the other hand, people want to get comfortable and they'll spend more time in the Beis HaMedrash. So you're trying to find that balance between making it inviting and relaxed, and you can spend more time and feel comfortable and still maintaining reverence. So if it's a place that you walk into for a couple hours a day, so I would shift or tilt towards the reverence. If it's a place that you're going to be for 12, 13, 14 hours a day, I would shift a little bit more towards the casual and relax. Obviously, there are boundaries in here. There's not. We talk about some of those boundaries. I don't want to get bogged down on this one. Okay? What's the second source we saw? Second halacha. Highest point in the city. Should build a Beis HaKnesses to the highest point in the city. The Rambam quotes it. Again, the Tosefta links it to The Raman Beis Elokeinu, the Pasuk in Ezra that talks about the Beis HaMikdash. What's the third halacha? What? So the Mordechai quotes the position about not really living in the lofts and higher stories of a Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash there were similar verandas and lofts that had Kedusha. Who was the Taz? Anyone know who the Taz was? Who was he? When did he live? Nachum? See, you're thinking. Anyone? Nacharon. David Halevi Segel. He lived in the latter part of the 16th century, 1580s. So he's a couple years, second generation or first generation after the Shulchan Aruch. He lived till the mid-17th century. Austria, I believe, Poland, Austria. He married the Bach's daughter. So the Bach was his father-in-law. We're going to talk a little bit about fathers-in-law today. Record the share of my father-in-law. So he married the Bach. Anyone know who the Bach was? Yoel Circus. Circus is a nickname for Sarah. Someone's name was Sarah, they called her Circula. Circula. So his family name became Circus because I think his mother may have been Sarah. Bach is actually buried in the Beis HaKvaros in Krakow. Meretz Hashem, some of you will visit Poland this year at the end of the year towards Pesach. So obviously in the Beis HaKvaros in Krakow, the primary kever there is the Ramah. But the Tosfos Yontif is buried there, the Megal HaMukos and Mekubal is buried there, as well as the Bach. So you'll visit some of these graves. So the Bach was the Taz's father-in-law. Anyway, the Bach lost two children. Two of his children died. I say the Bach, I'm tired, I meant the Taz. Listen to the Taz in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, Sifkatan Dalet. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai, Yesh Lishzaya, this is Kuf Nun Aleph, Sif Yud Beis, Yesh Lishzaya Milishtamish Bealil Shagav Beis HaKnesses, you shouldn't use the upper lofts and upper areas of Shul. And he writes, Taz quotes the halacha, and then he says two lines at the end of the halacha. Ready? Two very, very poignant lines. Ani b'yaldusi, when I was young, ha'isi dar b'kihila kadosha Krakow. I lived in Krakow, im b'nei beisi, with my family, b'beis midrashi shahei lamalim b'beis haknesses, in my beis hamedrash, I was on the upper stories of the beis hamedrash that I was learning, and I lived in the upper lofts. V'ne'enashti harbe b'misas banai, and I lost two children. Vitalisi Bazan, I associated this trauma and this tragedy to the fact that I violated this halacha. This is how the Taz ends Kuf Nun Aleph. So, interesting story about the Taz, that he actually lived in the upper lofts of his shul, and he determined that that's why he lost two children. What's the fourth halacha we saw? I mentioned it yesterday. Ari?
So I just had a question about the way that it
seems like he associates. Okay, now Gemara questions here. Gemara questions. Okay, now you have a lot of questions about life. Let's try to focus on Gemara. Go do the questions about life outside, okay? Because otherwise, it's endless, okay? Next halacha. Okay. That could be Shimpil the Dome here because it looks like a Vodazar, but that was part of the Bir Halacha quoting something related that who should build the shul? Jews, because there's a mitzvah to build the shul, because there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we saw four halachos that circle around this issue. Today we're going to discuss two halachos, one of which doesn't circle around the issue, but directly addresses the issue, and maybe affects our Gemara, and then the story that's heartbreaking and extremely, extremely intriguing. Okay, what does the Rambam say? What's the Rambam's big chiddush? Let's take out my sources here. Let's start with the Rambam. What does the Rambam say, not in the Sefer HaMitzvos, but in his short list of mitzvos? Minyan HaMitzvos, some call it HaKatzar, some call it Minyan HaMitzvos, as opposed to the Sefer HaMitzvos. What does the Rambam say? Anyone know? Lo Tasei Samachei, Yaakov Grunsfeld? Not just to destroy, but even to take a single stone. Okay? If the Beis HaMikdash, just like with the Beis HaMikdash, there's an Isser of removing stones from the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly with, let me find the Makar for you, similarly with the Shul. So of course the beginning of this is about the Beis HaMikdash on its own. So let's take a look. Did I give you this in the Makaros? Okay, let's start with the Sifri. It's right on the top of your Makaros. If you don't have, you can listen. Minayin lenotates even achad min ha'ichal. Umin ha'mizbeach. Umin ha'zara. Shu belot ha'say. Hamud lamar v'nitatzem es mizbechosam. Lo tasun kein l'ashem elokicha. Even though the Torah commands us to dismantle shrines and altars of Avodah Zarah, lo tasum kein, there's an isser, and not just total dismantling and total deconstruction, but even removing one stone. The language of the Sifrei is, minayin lenotates eben echad min ha'echal u'min ha'mizbeach. Now, my bad, I didn't give you the full language of the Mordechai, but that Mordechai that appears in your Makaris, who actually looked it up, and we'll get a chance to look it up. What does the Mordechai say? Remember, Alex? That's part of it, but what else does he say? His big chiddush is he applies the Isser from Beis HaMikdash to a Beis HaKnesses. So it's not just the Rambam, it's the Mordechai who says that since a shul has the status of the Beit HaMikdash, just like there's an Isser of Netitzat Evan in the Beis HaMikdash, similarly, there would be an Isser of even a Titzat Evan Achat from a Beit HaKnesset, which is what the Rambam writes in Mitzvot Lo Taseh Samachay. Notably, he does not quote this in the Yad Chazaka, nor, interestingly enough, does he quote it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So this leads to a famous machlokas between who and whom. Did you get a chance to see? Who says the Rambam doesn't really mean it, and all these people are only in Asmachta, Yaakov? Yeah, well, first tell me who takes the Rambam non-literally, who says the Rambam doesn't really mean it. Who wrote the Abiya Omer? Chacham Avadya. Chacham Avadya Yosef, probably the biggest Bucky in Torah over the last easily 200 years since the Chassam Sofer. I don't think there's any person who knew it. Probably the two people in our generation who knew as much Torah as the Chassam Sofer knew were Chacham Avadya and someone called Shaul Lieberman. I don't know if I ever told you about Shaul Lieberman. Shaul Lieberman was a very interesting person. A lot of Rabbanim who came to America after the Holocaust, or even before the Holocaust, they just simply couldn't get jobs. Not like they could all be rabbis, because rabbis wasn't a salary job, so there was nothing, and they all had no training. Remember, just go back a little bit further in time. Let me tell you the story of my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather was an Eloi. My great-grandfather married, I don't know when, but sometime before World War I. He was promised to be supported to learn his whole life. And then World War I came, and World War I led to a total financial collapse across Europe. As you studied World War I, financially things got very, very difficult, and it was particularly difficult in Eastern Europe. And you had hordes and hordes of people who had been promised, like my great-grandfather, they would be supported, that just the support ran dry, and then he was left high and dry much of his life. So a lot of these people are coming to America, there simply aren't jobs for them. What that ends up is that there are many, many Talmidei Chachamim and many people who are Orthodox who end up working in non-Orthodox settings as rabbis in shuls in the Midwest, in conservative shuls, in conservative organizations. The most famous person is someone named Shaul Lieberman, who was, I believe, Yaakov, Rav Yitzchak Ruderman, the former Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael's roommate in Slobodka. And he ends up becoming the dean of JTS, Jewish Theological Seminary, and he continues to be a firm person his whole life. I'm not the person to tell you what his particular positions were, but he was definitely an Orthodox Talmud Chacham of the highest caliber. He wrote a sefer called Tosefta Kipshuta, in which he takes the Tosefta, works scholarly in the emendations, and then quotes 700 sources on each line of the Tosefta, things I've never heard of. So a lot of yeshivas will not have the sefer. Some yeshivas will have the sefer, it's just not keeping it in the Beis Medrash. Some yeshivas, do we have it in the Beis Medrash? I haven't noticed. Put it this way, it's a sefer whose value is much greater before there was the Bar Ilan Project. Now the Bar Ilan Project, you pretty much can access through searches a lot of these svarim, but before Bar Ilan, just having, I don't know, 20 makaros that quote your Tosefer, quote your Gemara, was extremely valuable. So if you ever come across a sefer, but certainly Chacham Avadya, the breadth of Torah knowledge was simply, there's no word, indescribable. So Rav Avadya Yosef, Abiya Omer, writes that the Rambam didn't really mean this, it's only Midrabanan, don't take the Rambam seriously, since the Rambam didn't quote it in Mishneh Torah, and it's only Midrabanan Yaakov.
We said before that he doesn't write it in the Sefer HaMitzvot. The opening line in the Sefer HaMitzvot, he uses like this ambiguous lashon of Kol Bate,
could be. It could be, it could be. That could be the Raya of who says the Rambam does mean to say there's an Isser D'oraisa for Netitas Evan from a shul? Who argues with the Abiya Omer? Okay, so cheat sheet, you can look. Yaakov? Well, of course, the Mordechai. The Mordechai is not explaining the Rambam. We'll have to give him his own shita. But who claims...
Right, but no. But who argues with the Abiya Omer's read of the Rambam? Rav Avadya says that Rambam didn't mean it in Atara, and these psukim are just asmachtot. Who says the Rambam meant it literally? Did I not give it to you? Again, I forgot. Avnei Nezer, is that in your source sheets? Okay, I didn't give you Avnei Nezer. Just to know who the Avnei Nezer was. Again, there's no like really clear language. Who wrote the Avnei Nezer? Another famous son-in-law. Who was the Avnei Nezer's father-in-law? So the Taz's father-in-law was the Bach. Who was the Avnei Nezer's father-in-law? The Kutzker. Avnei Nezer married the Kutzker's daughter, which was extremely interesting because he married the Kutzker's daughter at a stage that the Kutzker Rebbe had already locked himself in his room and wouldn't talk to people. Just wanted to be, just not to be mean and smug. He just wanted to be disassociated, to be pure, to think about life, to find the truth, to be authentic, and didn't want to have to deal with the daily and dreary intercourse of dealing with people. So one of the only people who had constant access and was talking to the Kutzker was the Avnei Nezer, Avram Bornstein. Mid-19th century, I think he passed away in 1910. The two Svarim that he wrote, what other Sefer did the Avnei Nezer write on Hilchos Shabbos? Anyone know? Very famous Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. It's called the Sefer Iglei. Anyone know the Sefer Iglei Tal? Very, very important Sefer. He was a Hasidic Rebbe. He started the Hasidus of Sachachov, which we really don't have too much anymore. But he was probably one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim of his day. And interestingly enough, strongly supported Aliyah in Eretz Yisrael. Again, what a lot of people don't realize is before 1880-ish, most of the Rabbanim in Israel supported Aliyah to Israel. Remember, there's no such thing called Zionism. That word doesn't exist. People are moving to Israel. Should we move to Israel? Should we not move to Israel? So if you go back into the early part of the 19th century, what's wrong? Of course you should move to Israel. The Talmidim of the Grah moved to Israel. 300 Hasidim, 1880s, 1780s, moved to Israel. All of a sudden, two things happen. Life in Israel is really hard, and it's really hard to be religious, and it's really hard to be religious every 7 years. There's real starvation, so it's hard to keep Shemitah. People are losing their religion. It's part of people losing their religion across the globe. And of course, the big thing is when Zionism is announced, the World Zionist Congress, then it becomes officially a secular movement. Then a lot of people break ranks with it. How can we be part of a secular movement? So don't think that the second that Zionism becomes an idea, all of a sudden everyone lines up against it. There are a lot of people, especially in this 19th century, Avnei Nezer in particular, were strongly, a lot of Hasidic Rebbeim in particular, strongly supportive on a personal level. He actually tried to buy land in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't work out. Avnei Nezer feels the Rambam should be taken literally at his word, that it's usher to remove even a stone of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Before we ask how the Rambam, let's start with the Rambam on the sugya. Now, what question could you ask on our sugya based on the Rambam Shita? Yaakov. Exactly. Why is the Gemara saying you can't dismantle a shul till you build another shul because of pshius and slie? It's an issa deraisa to remove even a stone from a shul, certainly to dismantle an entire shul. What's the presumed answer in the Rambam? Interesting question, right? Yes, Yaakov. Very good. When the Rambam describes the Isser, let's take a look at the Rambam. Let me close the door. When the Rambam describes the Isser of Netitzas Evan from the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Rambam doesn't list Netitzas Evan from a shul in the Mishneh Torah, but he does list it in the Beis HaMikdash context. He writes two phrases, Derech Hashchata. If you dismantle the Beis HaMikdash, or you take a stone from the Beis HaMikdash, with intent to destroy it. So presumably, even if we do transfer the Yisr from Beis HaMikdash to Beis HaKnesses, it would only be in a way that intends to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaKnesses. What's happening, Yaakov, in this sugya? We're trying to take stones out of the Beis HaKnesses for a new one.
But you're still destroying the old one.
Okay, so is that Derech HaShchatzah? Going to the Rambam. Is Derech HaShchatzah a gauge purely based on, Joey's saying that anytime you move a stone will be Derech HaShchatzah, even if you have some productive use for it. So then what would not be Derech HaShchatzah?
Building something up in the
shul. So you're basically removing a stone just to improve the wall, to put in some more cement or something. Yeah. So Joey's saying that everything would be Derech HaShchatzah as long as you're not rebuilding that item itself. But the Chassam Sofer wants to claim, in Arachayim Simon Laman Gimel, this is how the Rambam would answer the sugya, that if I'm just dismantling to break and to destroy, that would be Derech HaShchatzah. But if I'm dismantling because I want to use this stone and insert it into some new Beis HaKnesses, Yaakov, that wouldn't be Derech HaShchatzah. I would circumvent the Rambam's Issur D'Oraisa, and the only concerns would be, maybe I won't, Pshiusa, will we daven in the interim, Tzliyei. So that's how the Chassam Sofer answers the potential question on this sugya against the Rambam. Yeah, Nachum.
Once you say that,